Light Square drops the kid gloves and attacks GPS users. Pilot unions keep pushing for one level of safety. And airborne spotters will replace boots on the ground along the Mexican border. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for the weekend of Friday, December 23rd, 2011. In response to a research study that shows a significant expectation of interference to GPS receivers from LightSquared's proposed 4G broadband network, the company has changed strategy from denying the interference to petitioning the FCC to force GPS users to simply live with it. The issue will be a sticky one. In theory, licensed services such as LightSquared always take precedence over unlicensed devices such as GPS receivers. But GPS is a special case. Have GPS manufacturers, as LightSquared suggests, taken shortcuts in design to lower costs at the expense of turning out receivers that are not hardened against interference on an adjacent frequency band? Absolutely. But their engineers were promised by international treaty that there would be no strong signals in that band now licensed to LightSquared, only other weak satellite downlinks. GPS was supposed to be cheap. When LightSquared acquired the spectrum, it knew about that limitation on its use and presumably bid accordingly when that spectrum was auctioned. Now it wants to change the rules. It seems inconceivable that the GPS system used by the Defense Department and commercial aviation will be made to pay for a lost gamble on the part of the hedge fund that owns LightSquared, but stranger things have happened. Pilot unions are reacting to the FAA's newly published crew rest and duty rules, and the reaction from the union segment is unanimous. Good rules, but bad to exempt cargo airlines. Southwest Airlines Pilots Association President Captain Steve Chase commented, quote, SWAPA has made it clear throughout this process that we would only offer our support to a ruling that promotes the one level of safety that the FAA originally mandated. It is our hope that lawmakers will reconsider the cargo carrier exemption and ensure that legislation meets the original intent of one level of safety, unquote. The Allied Pilots Association represents pilots at American Airlines. APA President Captain Dave Bates says, quote, a fatigued pilot is a fatigued pilot, whether their aircraft contains passengers or cargo. When crew members are fatigued, they're more likely to make mistakes. We therefore urge the FAA to reconsider the wisdom of a cargo carrier exemption, unquote. The Independent Pilots Association represents pilots at UPS and concurs, quote, to potentially allow fatigued cargo pilots to share the same skies with properly rested passenger pilots creates an unnecessary threat to public safety. We can do better, unquote. On Thursday, IPA filed a petition for review in the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit, challenging the FAA's exclusion of cargo operations from the new rules. Earlier, the Airline Pilots Association and the National Transportation Safety Board praising the progress in the new rules, but decrying the exemption for cargo airlines. National Guard troops deployed to patrol the southwestern U.S. border with Mexico will see their numbers cut in January from the current 1,200 to about 300. Replacing them will be military planes and helicopters, according to the Arizona Republic. The Pentagon reportedly announced the cost-saving strategy Tuesday, but President Obama is already under attack from Republicans for what they say is an inadequate presence to support the mission of the Border Patrol. The National Guard ground troops have been on duty there since June of 2010. Going forward, National Guard helicopters and planes will augment the Border Patrol's current fleet of manned and unmanned aircraft. If spotters detect illegal activity, it will be reported to the Border Patrol. Michael Lytle, a border expert at the University of Texas at Brownsville, says the shift in policy makes sense. Quote, intuitively, aircraft can get out in remote areas and cover a lot of areas. That is the upside of this. And if it does save us money, so much the better. And lastly, it shows the administration is still making the commitment to support these operations, unquote. A West Virginia air show, which closed early this year following a fatal T-28 crash, will be back for 2012. The website for the Thunder Over the Blue Ridge Open House and Air Show in Martinsburg says the show is scheduled for September 15th and 16th. Quote, next year's open house and air show will center around a variety of military and civilian acts and displays while opening the base to the general public. We are in the preliminary stages of planning the event. Check back often for updates, unquote. As ANN reported, Jack Flash Mengen, an alternate wing team member of the Trojan Horseman Warbird Formation Aerobatic Team, died when his T-28 appeared to go out of control following an opposing pass maneuver with another plane. The team took a hiatus, but returned to performing November 11th with a missing man formation flight near Fort Bragg, North Carolina. Follow developing details of the Thunder Over the Blue Ridge show at www.martinsburgairshow.com. Still ahead, the first Dreamliner service to the city where they're made is announced. Cub Crafters says it's expanding and hiring. And a guy who got too friendly with a flight attendant faces caning in Singapore. You're listening to Arrow News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for the weekend of Friday, December 23rd. I'm Paul Platt. All Nippon Airways, Japan's largest airline and the launch customer for the Boeing 787 Dreamliner, announced Wednesday that the first two U.S. destinations it will serve with a new plane include Boeing's manufacturing home in Seattle, Washington. The other is San Jose, California. ANA says it will fly from Tokyo's Narita Airport to both cities starting in fiscal 2012. ANA says the routes will maximize the Dreamliner's efficiency and performance. The airline says the 787 uses 20% less fuel than similar-sized aircraft and offers new standards of passenger comfort because of its composite structure and interior design. Cub Crafters has just added another 15,000 square feet of space to its FAA-certified manufacturing facility near the Yakima Airport in Washington State. That's a 60% increase in floor space and will be used to accommodate an R&D department and future growth. Cub Crafters owner Jim Richmond says, quote, "We've needed to do this for a long time. Our planes are selling well, and if we get even a little help from the economy, we will need to increase our production rate," unquote. The expansion also opens up some new jobs. You can find them posted at cubcrafters.com. Some guys just haven't caught on that the days of coffee, tea, or me are over. The online edition of the Straits Times reports that 35-year-old Sirkov Sergei, described as a sales manager from the Ukraine, was arrested by authorities in Singapore after he allegedly touched a flight attendant inappropriately during a Singapore Airlines flight from Moscow on November 15th. Sergei is accused of touching the 34-year-old attendant twice on the buttocks and once on her breast. The incidents are said to have taken place while the plane was in Thai airspace between 4:15 and 4:18 a.m. USA Today reports that Sergei, who works in Singapore, faces 2 years in jail, a fine, caning, or any combination of these punishments. And finally today, students in the Aviation Maintenance Program at Everett Community College in Washington State have been given two donated airplanes to practice on next year. The college's technician school is located at Payne Field, but the donated planes didn't come from Boeing. The Everett Herald reports one is a Cessna 421, a pressurized twin-engine piston aircraft, which was purchased using $48,000 in donated funds. At that price, yeah, it's probably a beater. But the other one is a 1974 Beechcraft Duke, another piston twin. This one has a modern panel and is estimated to be worth over $300,000, according to the school. It's getting harder to find instruction in twin-engine aircraft at many small airports these days. Seeing these two donations makes me wonder, are operating costs on the verge of making piston twins completely obsolete? That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Merry Christmas and happy holidays, and have a clear and unlimited day.